Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
I'm going to sell you on a guy that I already know you're not buying. All the deep dives.
Caillou, the kid that whined. I'm going to be frank. Sometimes I want a Clifford and Bear in the Big Blue House to go over and just knock him around.
I think they will win. They're back at home.
I'm going to go off here.
Hans, come in here. Like poking the eye.
I literally just create madness. I put a packet of mild sauce.
The one Taco Bell packet was a little...
That was strange.
I don't know. Their secondary grades out is the worst. High scoring. Take the over. Ye who had injury. Ye who had.
King Derek the fifth.
Is it better to have two defensive coordinators or none?
Or none.
They have Tua's brother. It's easier than to pronounce. Yeah.
This song I really dislike.
Hans. Trevor's on fire right now. You got to be a trendsetter. 14 team, all heavy favorite. How dumb am I for doing that?
Yeah, you're dumb.
It is The Drive with Jay and Piper. I am Lance. Derek Piper is sitting right next to me, proudly wearing an Ali Marmol St. Louis Cardinals t-shirt.
Game worn.
Is it already? That would be awesome if you came in here with an Ali Marmol jersey. That would be, what would be the most embarrassing jersey you could buy? Like if I went out and bought I'm maybe not embarrassing, but I'm thinking. You remember that little guy, that quarterback Kevin Cobb, K-O-L-B. He played for like the Eagles, I think, and then he played for the Cardinals. If I went out and picked up a Kevin Cobb jersey and just wore that around, would that be embarrassing?
Should I bring up the Bears starting quarterback list again?
Oh my gosh. Of which
if I had a Cade McNown jersey stash.
Oh yeah.
See, that's actually one where you'd expect.
Right.
It to pay off as a first-round quarterback.
Like, you could actually find a Cade McNown jersey. What is a jersey you could not find?
A Henry Burris. Right. So if you have that, it's probably just mostly a joke.
Exactly. You're just like, eh. Because I've got a little bit of a problem right now with my Arizona Cardinals gear. I have, remember Donna, who hasn't called the show in a long time. I want to hear from Donna. She got me a Tyrann Mathieu jersey, 32, but of course he doesn't play for the Cardinals anymore, but that's kind of my go-to jersey now. I have a Larry Fitzgerald jersey, but it's kind of the older school, like it's not one of the new jerseys. I can't explain it. And then I have a Matt Leinart jersey that I have in a box somewhere that I do not wear.
I've got an Anthony Thomas.
There you go. So we need to have a throwback day, and I'll bring in my Leinart. You bring in your Anthony Thomas. Wow. No, don't ever bring in an Anthony Thomas jersey in here. You know, he's the reason about that fumble game.
I know.
Can we burn that?
I'd be okay with that.
Like when Illinois plays Michigan the next time, like if they play them next year at home, we are going to have a burn Anthony Thomas's jersey day. I think that would be fantastic. I think Illinois fans would be all about that. And then we'll tweet it and we'll send it to Anthony.
Fair enough. Now, I did get that my first ever Bears game, but, you know, it does have the Michigan ties. And
yeah.
I know you'd appreciate it. So I'm not getting much use out of it these days.
Right.
So,
well, I wouldn't.
I could be down for that.
I wouldn't ask you to burn something. I mean, you paid good money for that thing eventually or originally, probably, unless somebody gave it to you.
My pops bought it.
Oh, okay. Well, then you better get his permission. I mean,
my Velcro wallet back when I was like 10 or 11 didn't have a whole lot of money in it. So
like $6, yeah. All ones. Like,
can you cover the rest?
Do you mind, Dad? I appreciate that. Joey Wagner, he writes for IlliniEnquirer.com. Derek Piper, you know him. I know him. He's going to join us at 5:05 today. He was at Happy Valley for the game of Illinois, the 9 overtime game. We're going to talk to Joey about that. We'll also ask him some Illinois basketball as well. As, of course, he helps you and Jeremy and the rest cover Illinois sports. So it'll be fun to visit with Joey. We'll do that at 5:05. We got a World Series game tonight. Charlie Morton going against his former team, the Houston Astros. What are you expecting out of the Braves and Astros? Can the Braves continue to do what they're doing this postseason without Marcelo Zuna, without Ronald Acuna, and without who was the pitcher that got hurt? Wasn't there a pitcher that got hurt early in the year? I could be wrong, but I think they're without like three pretty good players and have been most of the season. And now all of a sudden, here they are on the doorsteps to win a World Series, which would be, what, the first in two decades, I think. I heard the other day our buddy Kevin Wheeler on KMOX. I was driving home, and he had, was it John Smoltz? He had one of those guys, one of the former Braves on. No. It was Skip. It was Chip Carey. Chip Carey, yeah. The former announcer, Chip Carey. And now his dad, Skip.
TBS.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time.
He's Harry Carey's grandson, and his dad is Skip Carey, who did a lot of the Atlanta Braves baseball.
WGN?
No, that was TBS. TBS, the Braves. Yeah. The Cubs were on GN.
Right.
So I used to have the...
He did some Cubs, too.
He did. Yep, and he worked for the Cubbies. So I used to have the old, this is Skip Carey with Atlanta Braves baseball. But I can't do it well anymore. It's been a long time. But Chip was saying, you know, Kevin Wheeler started out, and he said, has it really been two decades since the Braves have won a World Series? I think that's right. And to think that all those years with Maddox and Glavin and Smoltz and Avery and Chipper and Andrew Jones, Javi Lopez behind the plate. I mean, they had some studs. Didn't Fred McGriff play on some of those teams? And they won one World Series through all of that, which is crazy. But certainly they were there every year. You just got tired of losing to the Braves and facing the Braves. But here they are tonight against, how do you say that name? Framber Valdez for the Astros. I don't even know. So what do you think? Give me your early World Series prediction here. Do you got the Astros winning it? They seem too good.
Yeah, I have to lean that direction. But I will give the Braves this kind of a credit. If we were going into the postseason listing the favorites, and who do you think can win this thing? I know that you and Trevor picked the Brewers. I'm not going to sit here and dog that because I picked the White Sox. Right. And that we all three had that as the World Series matchup, and that got blown up in the first round on both sides of it. But the Brewers and the Dodgers both would have been two of the first three or four picks in terms of who you're slotting in as the favorite to win the World Series, and they knocked off both of them and didn't even go to Game 7
Incredible.
To beat the Dodgers. So I'll be honest, I didn't watch a ton of that Braves-Dodgers series.
I didn't either.
And then once Scherzer was out, that's not taking anything away from it because the Dodgers needed a huge comeback in L.A. in what was that, Game 5? Just to even get the series back to Atlanta. So clearly they're doing something right.
Yeah, they are.
But yeah, you just kind of assume the Astros, it's just one more giant they would have to slay, but they've done that all the way through.
And I think the world would be rooting for the Braves in this.
They will be.
I would assume that nobody wants the Astros to win again. We don't think they're doing anything wrong. That might come out later, but I assume they're on good behavior as they go along.
Altuve's only hitting 200 in the postseason, so clearly they're not dialing it up underneath the jersey this year.
Something is happening. Crime Dog, baby. Exactly, Sal. That was Fred McGriff. He was Crime Dog. Ryan and Callie said on the U of I, Illini Lake text line, that I still have my Kosuke Fukudome jersey. Nice. I wonder what other jerseys are out there. What other jerseys do our listeners have that, of course, someone that is now probably retired, or maybe just a jersey that you look back on and think, really? Now, I was fired up about Matt Leinart because I thought he was going to be the savior of the Arizona Cardinals when he was drafted, 10th overall, I believe. But he turned out to not
blame
be
the savior. That one.
No, I thought for sure. I'm like, man, Leinart fell to the Cardinals at 10? This is like heaven. I do have, the other one I have, which I cherish, is a Jake Plummer. I've got a snake. It's a white with the six red 16 on it and the Arizona flag. I'll have to dig that one out, man. That I guarantee you that's not going to fit. And normally jerseys are bigger, and that one still isn't going to fit me. I had that a long time ago, Jake the Snake from Idaho. Do you know he was a professional handball player?
Was he really?
Yeah, when he retired from the NFL, he decided to become a professional handball player. He was a little bit different. He and Pat Tillman got along well because they were both just a little bit different. And I don't mean that in a bad way. They kind of lived off the land. They were just, I mean, it's probably how we all should live. But they were just kind of, you know, salt of the earth kind of people. And we know, of course, the heroics of Pat Tillman and what he did. But, Jake Plummer was one of those who was like, Hey, and that kid came in. I think he played 6 years with the Cardinals. Skinny as could be. He said back in that day he didn't fit what quarterbacks did. He would have been better today as they run all over the place. You know, I mean, that was Jake Plummer's style.
Yep.
He was better when the Cardinals fell behind. Well, good news for him, we were behind every game. So he was much
comfortable.
Better. He was very comfortable in that. All right.
The Matt Carpenter jersey wouldn't age very well.
No.
Had some glory years.
How are you going to look at him? When all the dust settles, he had some unbelievable seasons in St. Louis. I mean, top 10 MVP a couple of times, I believe. He is like ranks high with the Cardinals organization in like doubles, walks, I don't know what else. I'm guessing I don't know where he would rank in terms of this Busch Stadium on number of home runs he's hit there. It's got to be pretty high. Matt Carpenter, you know, is a guy that, I mean, you won a World Series under his watch. Did you win two? No, I think just 11, right? I don't think he was there in four.
No, he wouldn't have been there for.
Or I'm sorry, in six. So, you know, he's a World Series winner. He's a guy that was one of the best leadoff hitters for 2-3 years in a row in Major League Baseball, where he would grind you. I mean, if you're asking what a leadoff hitter should do, and maybe this is old school before sabermetrics, but the idea behind the leadoff hitter was go up, let's get a feel for what the pitcher's throwing, see as many pitches as you can, and then come back to the dugout if you're not on base and let us know, was he, you know, is the fastball heavy? Is the curveball working? Is the slider flat? I mean, just let us know some of these things and give us a tell. So, I mean, Matt Carpenter was a kid. I think when it's all said and done, I think that guy might be wearing a red jacket one day for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Mm.
It'll be interesting. He'll be up for vote one day. Would you vote him?
Probably not.
Okay, that's fair.
Three-time All-Star. He finished fourth in MVP voting in 2013. Led the league in hits, led the league in doubles. And then 11, he had minimal appearances. He played in seven games that year, so maybe he wasn't a big part of that World Series team. It's tough. And
yeah.
It's just kind of sad the way it tailed off. And
I
even
know.
Like we've seen players that are revered and have great careers. Like even like Isringhausen, when it was over, it was like bad.
It was bad.
And even Tony held on a little bit too long, but in comparison to this, like this was 3 years too long.
Yes.
So that's been unfortunate, and it's just kind of a built-up frustration. But I think when you look back at it, can you still have a good view of who he was for that 6-7 year chunk of his career versus the last three? Yeah, I think you can.
I think so.
But it is, yeah, we're all ready to move on from that.
It is amazing, though, what that contract, along with a couple of others, you know, like Dexter Fowler and such. It is amazing how much that handcuffed the Cardinals the last couple of years. And I'm sure Matt Carpenter, I'm sure that aided him every day thinking that I'm part of the problem here. And listen, I don't blame Matt Carpenter for not coming into the, you know, John Mozeliak's office and saying, look, you know, I'm not playing very well, so go ahead and take $8 million off this. You know, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like I deserve it. So, you know, I mean, not his fault he signed the contract, right? That he was offered.
Is Jason Hayward, speaking of which, is Jason Hayward's speech worth the jersey that are out there in Cubby Land?
You know what? Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You won a World Series thanks to his speech in the rain. I mean, you know, come on. Yeah, I totally agree. Is he still with the Cubs?
Yeah.
For like 8 more years? What is his contract right now? How many more years do the Cubs have to pay Jason Hayward?
We need Trevor for this.
Like last year, he even had a negative WAR. Look at me throwing out sabermetrics. When it came to defensive statistics, and that was one thing that he was always. You could shred him on his hitting. That old ground ball to second base. He was the next 4-3 after me. I mean, you could shred that guy on his hitting, but his defense was always spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
And I think last year he was just really not that good. Cubs fans would have to, I'd have to get their take on that.
He's got 2 more years at $22 million a pop. So that's kind of tough.
Wow. Wow. 217 said, Lon, where's your Jim Hart jersey? I don't have a Jim Hart jersey. I wish I did.
Who's Jim Hart?
Jim Hart was a quarterback in the NFL for like 22 years. You should look him up real quick. He was played at SIU, played for the Cardinals. I think he played for the Redskins eventually, won a lot of games in football, and he was the SIU athletic director. And when I graduated from SIU, or right my senior year to graduation, he was our SID, or he was our AD, and I would go into his office and talk Cardinals football with him. And finally, he would look at me and say, Lon, nobody talks this much Cardinals football. I need to get going. And I'd have to walk out. But yeah, Jim Hart, man, he was a long-time quarterback. How many years?
From 1966 to 1984. Wow, almost a 20-year career.
Holy cow.
Four-time Pro Bowler.
Wow. So 18 years in the NFL. And then I think Neil Lomax followed him, who's one of my favorites ever.
That made me think of Bohart. I could have gotten a Bohart jersey after one season, and then they threw him curveballs, and then he was out of the league.
That's like Jeremy Warner always used to say. I was a pretty good baseball player until I learned that they could throw a curveball at me, and then I was like, what? What is that? Jake the Snake owns a cannabis dispensary in Colorado. That makes sense with Jake.
Probably pretty wealthy.
Yeah. And same 217, how about a Larry Wilson jersey? Yeah, that is old school. He was really good. Hall of Famer. Larry Wilson. I think he still worked up till a few years ago in the Cardinals organization. So that's enough Cardinal football. Illinois football somehow is a one-point underdog. You go on the road, you beat the seventh-ranked team in the country, and I think you are a one-point underdog to a Rutgers team that has not won a game in the Big Ten. Is all of that factual?
They have not won a game in the Big Ten. They started 3-0 with wins against Temple, Syracuse, and Delaware.
Syracuse is a pretty good win.
Well,
no. Didn't they just beat?
Things fell apart for Dino Babers. Did they beat Clemson?
Did they just beat somebody fairly good last
week?
They
won at Va Tech.
Oh, Virginia Tech. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. Inner Sandman. Da-na-na.
But then they went through a gauntlet of they lost to Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State, three in a row, which is nothing to really rag on them too much about.
Okay, guys, here's the good news. Here's the next three games. We got Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State. Let's go!
But they fell at Northwestern, which doesn't look very good.
No. But you got Rutgers coming to town. Brett Bielema spoke today and had a lot of good things to say, including some injury updates on Art Sitkowski. He's out for the season. We know that update. Chase Brown, is he going to be able to play this coming week? We'll hear from Brett Bielema when we have his sound bites this next segment.
Oh, I'm sure we'll know for sure going into Saturday's game.
Oh, sure.
Based on the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess I don't blame him.
No, I'm not.
But you're right.
Giving him fault.
You're totally right. So we'll hear from Brett Bielema when we come back. Joey Wagner, again, writer for Illini Inquirer, used to be at the Decatur Herald Review.
He was.
From Pekin, Illinois. The second most popular Pekin person behind D.A. Points, who, of course, played golf at Illinois and is now on the PGA Tour and has won, three events? I think three PGA events, including with Bill Murray in California, Pebble Beach, when they paired up. You remember that?
Mm.
And D.A. Points specifically told me, because Pekin Insurance, I do a lot with, they sponsor him. So if you watch a golf tournament with D.A., he'll have a shirt on with Pekin Insurance, but he came to an event and I was asking him about that and playing with Bill Murray, and he's like, it was the best thing ever. In fact, he's joined us a couple of times on our show. We should have him on again, but it was pretty funny. He's like, you know, he was exactly what I needed, because he calmed me, you know, because DA's like, I wake up on day four leading this tournament, needing a win to continue, not just needing that win to continue his card, but that certainly, once you went on a tour, I think that gives you another 2 or 3 years on your card. And I could be wrong about that, and if I am, I apologize. But, you know, it was one of those where he said, you know, that, because I asked him, I said, how hard was that to play with Bill? That had to have been hard. And he's like, it was the opposite for me. He kept me loose, and I played some of the best golf I've played. That was I got to tell you this one story, and then we're out of here. And I said this before on the show, and I apologize. 11 years I've been doing this. I'm going to repeat a lot of things. But he would hit for us on, like, hole six. So our group gets to hole six, and I think I've told you this. It was about a 420-yard little baby dog leg to the right, and there was a tree about 370 down the left side. So we get up on the tee box, and, you know, he's like, hey, guys, blah, blah, blah. We take our picture with him, and we're visiting, and he's like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. You see the tree down there? I'm going to put you about I'm going to put you about 20 feet to the right of that, and you should have a perfect little wedge into the green. And we're like, okay. So he hits a drive, and I counted it from the tree, and it was like 23 feet. And so we parred of course. And so we get to dinner that night, and I went up and I said, D.A., thanks again for playing. He goes, no, I had a great time. And I said, by the way, you know, we parred that hole. And he's like, how? And I said, well, you told us you were going to put us 20 feet to the right. You were 23. And he's like, well, that's totally my fault then. He said, go back and take a birdie. I'm like, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter in the grand scheme of things. But just a great guy and a guy out of Pekin. So we'll visit with Joey Wagner. Maybe he's met D.A. points.
Potentially. Pretty cool for Joey to make that long haul out to State College. Had to be no expecting doubt. Like,
oh, I know.
And we got to think, as guys that have covered a lot of games ourselves, is there a comparable or what is the highest in terms of this isn't going to go well or probably even be worth my time, but then you get shocked.
That's a great point. Okay, I have kind of one without thinking too hard, but I'll keep thinking about that. Okay, that's awesome. All right, so we'll listen to Brett Bielema when we come back. Get you ready for Illinois and Rutgers this Saturday, 11 a.m. 58 degrees, I think, is the high on Saturday, and it should be about 58 when it kicks off. 46 when Lon is throwing the bacon on at 7:30 a.m. in the lot 31. So swing by for some bacon and some eggs. I'll be. Did I tell you that my arm and my hand made it on the Big Ten tailgate show?
You told me that.
So you couldn't, and then our group made it on. But the guy was like, let me get a close-up of you cracking an egg. And I'm like, so he sits there and I said, just tell me when you're ready. He goes, I'm ready. One-handed, I cracked the egg and went onto the whatever. And I was like, that's pretty good. And then he kind of comes up and looks at me like with a camera. And I was like, go Illini. Well, the only thing they showed was me cracking the egg. But my arm made it on Big Ten Network. Man. So I'm pretty kind of
professional.
Yeah, and that was with the old orange hoodie, too. So game day made it on there as well. All right, let's get out of here. Let's listen to Brett Bielema when we come back. Joey Wagner at 5:05. What jersey, what old school jersey do you still have? Maybe you don't even wear it anymore, but what do you have? You've got Anthony Thomas. I've got a Matt Leinart. Those are just kind of jerseys that we don't wear anymore, but we still have them. 359-2255. Text that into the U of I Illini Link text line. You can follow us on Twitter, at TheDrive93.5. I'm at Lon Tay, ESPN. See you!
I'm at DPiper247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to TayandPiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at StevieJay.com, StevieJay.com. You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
We've had a ton of people already go back and podcast Jay Layman's Hour yesterday. I mean, if you're ever just needing energy, that's what you do. Go back to yesterday's first hour of the show. It is I sit here because I know I've had people say, man, he's really loud when he's on. I'm like, well, look, I am running. Like when you and I start talking, I basically have we've done this for three years. So I know where to put you for the most part and where to put me in terms of voice level. Jay, I sit here. I just work it up and down like. It's like, oh, here he goes. And I go way down, and then he kind of gets quiet, and I have to bring it back up. And then he's like, it's loud. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
We need, like, an alarm clock app where it's Jay sound bites to just blare out of your phone.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you'd get up, and you'd be ready to roll. There's no doubt about that. We're back. It is The Drive. At Forward from Rastavi, Georgia, number 15, Georgie B.
Hey, it's me, Georgie B. My last 4 years in Champaign have been amazing, amazing, amazing. But the fun doesn't have to stop. Get down to Game Day Spirit to find the exclusive Georgie B t-shirt collection. You'll be glad you did. It's always a great day to have a great day at Game Day Spirit, baby. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop. Yes, sir.
I'm Ben Quattrone, owner-operator at Sarah Champaign. I enjoy a good game like anyone else, but not when I'm buying a car. At Sarah Champaign, located in Savoy, we've got multiple franchises, and we're transparent, no haggle, no BS, no hassle, and our price is generally lower than anywhere else you'll find. We've always got 30 cars under $10,000. We have luxury models, too. We do business a little differently at Sarah Champaign. Most of our customers really appreciate it. Visit SarahChampaign.com, SarahChampaign.com, and look at 500 cars.
Caution, a virus has been detected.
Captain, our bandwidth is too low and the firewall is down. The viruses are attacking. This is an emergency.
We'll be just fine. All we need is a competent captain, such as myself.
Computer, how are we looking?
Guidance cannot compute. Computers have been infested. We should have used Area Wide.
Quickly, call down to Area Wide Technologies in Champaign. The number is 359-8041.
Secure.
security threat neutralized.
Area Wide has done it again. We must remember to call them for our cyber security need. Take us home, Lieutenant.
Banco Overhead Door boasts over a decade of experience in garage door sales, installation, and service. They pride themselves on fast, friendly, and professional assistance for all customers. You can trust the licensed and professional team at Banco. And Banco is the only company in a 100-mile radius with a garage door showroom. Go visit their location and shop door options that meet your needs at 214 South Lake of the Woods Road in Mahomet, or you can view options online at bancodoor.com. That's B-A-N-K-C-O Door.
For the past 50 years, the dedicated team at Country Squire Cleaners has provided exceptional service at affordable rates. As a top dry cleaner in Central Illinois, they provide trusted dry cleaning and garment care. Country Squire will pick up and deliver to your home or office. And right now, Country Squire Cleaners is offering 20% off bedspreads, blankets, rugs, afghans, loose weave blankets, and down comforters. They're open Monday through Saturday. Country Squire Cleaners at countrysquirecleaners.com.
Step out this fall with Merle Norman's City Chic Color Collection. Featuring a 10-shade shadow palette, matte cheek color, and three nude rose and berry plush lipsticks. Shop now and receive a free travel size glow getters gift. It features exfoliating gentle polish, vitamin C packed Brilliant C brightening serum, and moisturizer. Plus, Ultra Glow powder highlighter. The limited edition City Chic Color Collection and free gift with purchase are available now while supplies last at Merle Norman Champaign.
Your gift is free with the purchase of two or more Merle Norman cosmetic products. All from valid while supplies last at participating Merle Norman Cosmetic Studios beginning September 1st. Limit one per customer.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Georgia B. Catch my boys Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 on The Drive. Boom, boom,
okay, we just came up with something. You and Trevor and I were talking. I meant to say Isaiah Simmons on the Cardinals, and I said Ben Simmons, and Trevor's like, Ben Simmons. I'm like, can you imagine if the Sixers traded Ben Simmons to the Arizona Cardinals? I don't know who they trade for, but
might be one of the teams willing to trade with them for Ben Simmons.
Right. Trevor's like, I don't think you could cross-trade through sports. I'm like, yeah, I don't think you can either. But, man, you talk about a segment. We could go into some thoughts about who could be playing other sports and how cool will that be. So we'll see. We'll go from there. Hey, Kevin Wheeler's going to join us tomorrow, 5:05, talking about Ali Marmol. I know he's ticked off. He was on KMOX last night. I heard a lot of his one-hour show, and he was really jumping on a lot of fans that were saying that this is a yes man for John Mozeliak. And the idea behind it is not Kevin Wheeler saying that Ali Marmol will not be a yes man. It's that you don't know that. He's like, you don't know anything. And so he just went off. He was texting me like just, I mean, during the show, while he's talking, I'm getting texts from Kevin, and they are like scorched earth.
Let's play the all piped up drop when we bring him on.
No doubt. He was not happy with that. He goes, man, I said, man, you're on fire. I said, listen, Kevin, I'm one of those Cardinals fans that is so spoiled, and we act like it. And he's like, you guys, you really, sometimes Cardinals fans do. And he's like, because can you imagine? He was basically saying, if Whitey Herzog had the same kind of career he had back with the Cardinals, he probably would have been fired after 3 years and wouldn't have gone on to win a World Series and get to three of them. Or Tony La Russa, he goes, Tony La Russa has three titles in 47 years or something or whatever. And he's like, today's day and age thinking, you know, he wouldn't be around to even try to get those three. So, and maybe he's right. So we'll see. But we'll have Kevin Wheeler on tomorrow at 5:05. Can I tell you before we get to Brett Bielema that my Arizona Cardinals are 7-0 and the St. Louis Blues are 5-0. And Illinois basketball is ranked 11th in the country and getting ready to start. Illinois football just defeated Penn State. SIU football is ranked 3rd in the country. I'm having a pretty
good. Life is good.
I'm having a pretty good little sports moment. Because I've had times when they haven't, you know, everything else is bad. What about you? You've got.
All they didn't do is win on your birthday.
That's it.
Illinois football.
That's it. That was the only thing. They didn't even score. They didn't even score for me on my birthday against Wisconsin.
Everything else is great, though.
Everything else. You've got what? You got Illinois. You got the Bears that are, at least you got your quarterback, you think. Yeah,
and that's not one to brag about right now.
We need to dive into that a little bit later this week.
Jeez.
All right, Brett Bielema doesn't have a quarterback either. But
we can relate.
But
let's talk about it.
They went and beat Penn State. I want to know about injuries. We did hear today, and it's unfortunate. You hate to hear this. You don't want to hear about injuries that knock people out, but obviously Art Sitkowski is done for the season. But Brett Bielema met. This is kind of a longer clip, but he talks about kind of the injury updates, including Chase Brown going into the going into the home game against Rutgers this Saturday.
Okay, so a couple of injury updates. Art, unfortunately, did break his arm. We'll actually have surgery, I think, tomorrow. I'm sorry, today's Monday, Wednesday. He'll have that, so he'll be done for the year in that regards. But something that'll be even come to a shock to probably about 99% of our team, asked Art to share this. So when Art first got here, as he began to go through things, you began to see that maybe he wasn't throwing the ball as effectively as he maybe thought he was at one point and did. And so it was brought to our attention that he was in need of a shoulder surgery at some point. He rehabbed it, did everything he possibly could do to get to the beginning of the season. But we knew at some point he was going to have to undergo surgery. It would take about a 6 to 7 month recovery process. It was an injury that he sustained before he ever came here. I can't tell you how proud I am of that kid, what he did to come in the way he did in Nebraska, to come in and do what he did and propelled us to wins. And obviously all the way down to that final play the other day, knowing that he isn't, you know, whatever percentage it is, it's not anywhere close to 100%. So the struggle that I had that we sat down during the first bye week was, when do we have this procedure? When do we get this done, right? And knowing that it was going to be a 6 month, you know, 6 to 8 month procedure, when do we do this that lets him maximize his opportunity this season but also gets him ready for next season? And so he and I had kind of come to the conclusion we would make a discussion during the first bye week, which we got through. We were going to wait until the second bye week and then ultimately make a decision if we didn't do it during the second bye week, if we would do it, you know, first or second, 1 or 2 weeks remaining in the season, just so we could maximize his recovery time. So sometimes blessings come in the most unusual ways, but now with this surgery getting done on his left hand, as soon as that gets healed up enough, hopefully in about 2 to 4 weeks, then he'll have surgery on his right shoulder. Unfortunately, it'll knock him out of spring football, but he'll be back hopefully engaged with us full-time for the fall. So his teammates didn't even know. He didn't want to have anybody aware of that or you know, he just wasn't as good as he knows he possibly can. And to get him 100% throwing, that's what we have to do. So that's the challenge he'll have. Chase Brown, after his injury on Saturday, has already passed all of the tests that he needed to pass. He's actually biking today. Tomorrow he'll be in practice, no contact. Wednesday he'll be able to receive contact, and he should be good to go. Cleared Wednesday afternoon, Thursday. If all progresses normal, he'll be good to go. Vidarian Lowe was very, very good Saturday night after the flight back. Sunday looked well. He's progressing in the right direction. I think he'll be with us on Saturday. If not, it shouldn't be any much more than that that week. And really, everybody else, other than a few, you know, normal bumps and bruises, and guys played 100 snaps on offense. It was kind of tale of two cities, right? Usually your snaps marry one another, and the defensive guys had almost 35, in case sometimes 40 less snaps than the other side of the ball. So kind of a just practice as we look at it this week to kind of fit that as well.
There you go. So the defense needs to bust it this week for a tired offense. I didn't realize that about Art Sitkowski, that his shoulder giving him fits. That's his throwing shoulder. That might make some sense on the idea that he wasn't hitting some throws that you felt like a quarterback in college should hit. So maybe that'll be the case, but I hate it for him. I was asking you, I don't know, did he break his hand when the Penn State helmet hit it or when he hit the ground? I don't even know which is exactly what happened, but obviously Sitkowski's got a lot of healing to do with a left hand and then a right shoulder, so two surgeries coming up for him, or at least the shoulder surgery for sure, and then the heel on the hand. So, and great news about Chase Brown. That's big.
Actually, there's some clarity there.
He did.
Back in practice, full contact expected by Thursday, right? And then should be good to go.
That is some clarity that we didn't expect to get. So that's good news on Chase Brown, because, you know, that two-headed monster of Brown and McCray is certainly something that has been fun to watch and fun to watch develop. And you can see with the injuries you've already had in that running back room, you can see how you just can't have enough depth, and especially for a offense that is going to run the ball a lot, we think, in the future, in Brett Bielema's mind. Now, one thing that we saw on Saturday, Derek, that was almost weird to look at, but in a weird way kind of cool, was having like 8 offensive linemen out there at one time, plus 2 tight ends. And you're just like, wait a minute. Well, no, you couldn't do that. Because then you just have
to. You could if it was a direct snap.
Right. You couldn't do that. So maybe 1 tight end. And is it Tip? I'm going to say it wrong. Number 89. I should know that, and I apologize. He played Reimer. He played quite a bit for Illinois, and I think they like him as a blocking back. And, of course, the other tight ends, Luke Ford and
Daniel Barker,
both played quite a bit as well. But it was cool to see that. And certainly, as we talked with Jay yesterday, Derek, that was something Penn State was not expecting and was something that they did not adjust to. But I have a feeling Rutgers will try to figure out a way to adjust to that.
You would think, but you would hope, again, that your O-line is smacking them in the mouth and be able to just lean on that style of football. And that's what we expected out of Brett Bielema and this offense. And it was cool to see the response to you didn't probably run it enough or even try against Wisconsin, but you were very adamant about establishing that against Penn State. And look, when you look back at the success that Bielema had at Wisconsin, or just kind of the essence of what they've done here the last couple of decades, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And when they need to fill some of these spots on the O-line going in the future, that's a good tape to throw on to some O-linemen in the transfer portal and everything like that. But, yeah, I think being able to make that shift to put Palcheski inside, we've been waiting for that or kind of speculating would that ultimately happen. That seemed to play out well in State College, and hopefully that unit continues to play to a high standard, which we expected, you know, at the very front of the season. Yeah.
What are the chances that Brett Bielema and Tony Peterson just have some fun Saturday and come out with a 5 set, just open it up with 5 wide receivers set on the first play?
I wouldn't recommend that.
Rutgers is like, wait a minute. We have 8 defensive linemen in right now. Why are they coming out 3 receivers right, 2 left? Here we go. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Brett Bielema today spoke about all of those big old offensive linemen and what happened there on Saturday and how that worked.
Yeah, so when we took Pouch and moved him inside, I wanted to give us the best options outside. So that meant moving Pill to the tackle position. And to his credit, he had worked primarily at right tackle because him and Pill – JP, so we put Pill over at right tackle, we moved Pearl over to left tackle, you know, to get some reps. We forbid, I don't mean to say this, right? We just don't have the numbers that we need to have at the offensive, so to conduct practice. So we kind of had been moving bodies around, and Pill had done a lot of really good things at right tackle. He had gotten minimum reps at left, and when the decision, when V event went down, I went out to always, you know, like I said last week, I go to check on our players, right? So I'm out on the field, and I said, you know, V's going to be down for some time here. He may come back in, but he's down. And Bart goes, I'm going with Pill at left. He knew right away what he's going to do, and it worked really, really well. And they adjusted things during the course of the game. Again, I give a lot of credit to Pill and his teammates. Like, there was an instant rally around him. Gerasati got jumped into the barge package, right, because of that, and Blake went in and was absolutely phenomenal from barge to field goal protection. Those last couple kicks, if we don't execute them, we don't, you know, have a chance to get to the 9th overtime. And they were running right over the guard tackle gap. And Blake and Vertus Brown, of all people, right? Like, we lose V-Lo, and now Vertus, who's now on offense as an inside nose tackle, goes in and plays tackle on field goal protection and doesn't miss a beat. You know, as coaches, whenever you have one substitution, it affects everything in the bigger picture in kicking game. And I remember Reggie Bain, our offensive grad assistant, when we scored our first touchdown after V went down, I remember Reggie going, hey, Vertus on field goal. And I turned around, and as I was turning, I saw a wide body running in front of me. I didn't have to say anything, and he was already running out there. Like, he was wired into that. Like, and that's what we talk about all the time. That's probably why when we were flying out on Friday, I told our players, when we have success tomorrow, don't be shocked, right? And I've said that to a couple times this year, because I could see and feel and understand what was happening in our building, And the result was what you saw on Saturday.
Yeah, a pretty cool story to kind of take you inside that with Virtus Brown and how that works out. That's pretty neat to know that Virtus is a guy that obviously came here with the expectation of being a good offensive lineman, and now he finds himself on the defensive line, and yet, hey, we need you right now on the offensive line, and no questions asked. He runs out and does it. So, really cool. That's kind of cool. Now, Casey Washington is the guy that caught the winning touchdown. I know there's a story about his gloves, and I've kind of heard it, but we're going to hear from Brett Bielema explaining that. But this is a guy, Derek, I really liked Casey Washington last year. I thought that he was kind of a little bit of a shining moment on a season that wasn't very good. And I thought, you know, I think Casey Washington, when it's all said and done, could become a pretty good wide receiver at Illinois. And, of course, then he decides to enter the transfer portal and actually leaves. I think he went to NC State?
Wake Forest.
Or Wake Forest. And then something on his grades would not transfer or something to that effect, to where he then all of a sudden couldn't go to Wake Forest. So now he's kind of back in limbo and comes back and talks to Brett Bielema and this Illinois offense, you know, the Illinois coaches. And Bielema's like, look, we would gladly take you in that wide receiver room. So Casey Washington decides, all right, I'm going to come back and play at Illinois. And then for that then to happen Saturday, that's kind of a cool story when you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, kind of a cool moment for Casey Washington.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And like you said, as a true freshman, he showed some things in terms of having an athleticism about him. And yes, you need as much of that at that position as you possibly can. So it is kind of a crazy story, the fact that he was going to leave, had both feet out the door, then ended up coming back and had the biggest catch of the season, and one that I know that Brett's going to talk about this in this clip here, but the fact that his gloves are going to the College Football Hall of Fame is wild to think about.
That's very cool to know you're going to be in that Hall of Fame, and you can one day maybe show your children that, et cetera. So here's Brett Bielema on Casey Washington.
One of the things we want to do going to Penn State, we wanted everybody to be in a certain look, orange hat, white jerseys, orange pants, and blue gloves. Before the game, I'd made a point about that in our program. All offensive skill players, if you're going to handle the football, you don't wear sleeves, right? I knew it was getting a little bit colder out there. Guys that wear sleeves have a tendency to make the ball a little bit more susceptible to come out or be a little bit slick. We actually had a player Thursday during practice that was running a kickoff return as a look team player, and he had the sleeves on. He's a little Florida-born player, and he hit a nice run, nice KOR return, and he was down the sideline just running. All of a sudden, the ball just squirted out of his hands. So I took that play clip and showed it to him on Friday, explaining why we have this rule, right? I've been in this business a long time. I've been in some cold-weather games. I was in the NFL. Saw two organizations that had the same rule. If you're an offensive player, you don't wear sleeves. And the reason we wear blue gloves is to match the jerseys of an opponent we might be playing that has a blue jersey on, right? So it all makes sense. I come up before the game, and George McDonald comes to me and says, Coach, Casey Washington doesn't want to wear blue gloves. I look at Casey, and I said, why is that? He's like, Coach, I didn't get in time to break him in. I really want to wear my white gloves. And those of you that have talked to Casey in moments of anxiety, he's looking very deep into your soul, right? So I got Coach McDonald, who's kind of an authoritarian type receiving coach. He's upset that the blue gloves aren't on. We're moments before kickoff. I got to make an administrative decision to the moment. So I looked at Casey and I said, you need to white gloves. He said, Coach, I need to white gloves. Obviously, 60 minutes later, 9 overtimes, I'm glad I gave him the white gloves. Those gloves are now being shipped to the College Football Hall of Fame. After the game, they wanted some memorabilia. Right after the game, Brett came up to me and said, hey, College Football Hall of Fame would like some things from the game. They wanted my hat. I wear the family hat before the game. Sometimes I wear it home after the game. I'm like, they ain't getting my damn hat. I love that hat. It's been with us since our first recruiting visit, and it means a lot to me, so it kind of has a soul and a purpose. I do, but I do got a pair of white gloves that we'll send you. So now those famous white gloves, no one knew that story but me at that time. So those white gloves are now headed to the Hall of Fame. In case you got to find a new pair of gloves, they'll probably be blue.
That is a Hall of Fame soundbite.
It is.
From Brett Bielema. That is some cool stuff. Ain't taking my damn hat. I wonder how many times he's had to wash that hat. That thing's probably been through some grueling things. But listen, that's a cool story for Casey Washington. And you think about, as a head coach, you give your coaches so much power, right? I mean, you tell them, do not bother me with small little problems. You handle that. I have plenty on my plate. I'm guessing that George McDonald, the last thing he wanted to do was approach Brett Bielema on game day on the road against the seventh-ranked team in the country and say, hey, yeah, he wants to wear white gloves. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. George probably said it and then ran. And Brett Bielema, I loved how he said that. I had to make an administrative decision.
You need those white gloves? I need those white gloves.
I need those white gloves.
And now you don't have them anymore.
No.
You might be hitting up the College Football Hall of Fame at some point and be like, I need those white gloves.
I need those white gloves. Those white gloves. I mean, those are the most famous white gloves since the guys that handled the Stanley Cup, essentially. But very cool. That's a cool soundbite from Brett Bielema. Brett does a lot of good things, including dealing with the media. He does a lot of cool things. And I've said this from day one. The idea that he not only speaks on Monday to the media, but also on Thursday. I think that is really a cool thing. I know we laugh about the transparency and the idea that, oh, so this guy's hurt. We didn't know that. Or, oh, he's playing now. And I get that. I mean, there's some gamesmanship there with a coach in terms of doing that. But certainly Brett Bielema is pretty open as any Illinois coach has been. Now, Tim Beckman was pretty open, but sometimes you wanted to close him down. But certainly Brett Bielema is a guy that he's entertaining.
He is.
And that's fun. You know that from coach, you know, from Brad Underwood.
Oh, absolutely.
Very entertaining. It makes your job fun.
Yeah, it definitely does. When you got someone that is engaging to listen to, that you know he understands it. He understands kind of the give and take and the media side of it. Mm-hmm. Like what we're trying to get out of it. Not that you're catering to the media is catering to the program by any
right.
means, but
right.
Just someone that is comfortable enough to be open with you and to share some things and be real with you.
Yep.
You don't get that a lot of times, and obviously a very charismatic guy and someone that is easy to listen to him talk ball and tell those kind of stories.
Yeah, I agree. And Steven from Chicago just says, isn't it nice to have a personable leader of a football program who can share pieces of what happens behind the scenes? I agree. And, of course, that always helps when you win to do something like that, but certainly that is the case. Brett Bielema was at State Farm Center to watch the Illini basketball
team. Were.
Brought one of his daughters in, and I assume both daughters were there, or maybe not, but he was carrying one of his daughters. And they got a pretty good reception, didn't they, from the crowd?
They really did. I assumed that they would be there. It made sense when you have a nice gathering of Illini fans. They're going to come back into town. I actually went to go to the bathroom right before the game, and there were 30 football players like in one small like bathroom. I was like, I guess I'm going at halftime. I was like, Jeremy, the football team's here.
Excuse me, guys. I got to get in here.
But really cool for them to play some of the highlights over the,
big
screen and then
cool.
and to get that ovation. And man, to have that moment in year one of your tenures, it's a pretty big deal.
And one thing I've never, ever thought about doing is going to welcome home a team at the airport. I just don't even think in my mind, and Andrew and I were in Champaign and could have easily slid down to Savoy and done that. I never even thought about it, but Brett Bielema talked about his reception that they received.
Our families actually met us out at the airport, and I've never had that before. My two girls and Jen were there, and a lot of our family, some fans, so that was pretty cool. And then shortly after the game, Cassie had reached out and to us at Penn State and said, would you guys have an interest? And I basically, we have an Illini Council that's a position player at each group, and I just said, I told Mark Torsani, our chief of staff, just, hey, reach out. I don't want to make those games Saturday night, right? They just beat Penn State, like, you know, I was 20 at one point in my life, too, right? Like, what do you want to do? So Mark set out the question to the Illini Council, and literally my phone just started blowing up, like, Coach, love to do it, want to do it, want to do it, want to do it. And it kind of just timed out perfect. I give a lot of credit to Cassie and her staff and the basketball and Brad to let that happen. It was an awesome moment for us. I know the players really enjoyed it. And just to interact with the fans, like I've said all along, like the part that I really enjoyed in this partnership when I came with Josh was like to build a sustainable, successful program for a long time. And every place I've ever been, the men's basketball and football have been a staple of those programs that build success for a long time. So obviously Brad and his crew have done it to the highest level and look to be on stage to do it again. So the more we can join partnership with them, I think it's good for everybody, fans included.
Home run press conference today. home run press conference by Brett Bielema. I think that's very cool. I think even down to the part where he says, I was 20 once. And after winning a game against the seventh-ranked team in the country, you're heading home to a campus that's fired up.
Yeah.
You're wanting to have some fun. And it's like, do you really want to waste 2 hours at a basketball game?
They weren't there the whole time.
Well, I was going to say
that.
And let's be honest, you're not wasting 2 hours when you go to an Illinois basketball. You know I don't mean that.
Right.
Certainly, that is an honor to do that and to get introduced. But very cool that that team and all those guys said, heck yeah, we want to do that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Britt Miller told us that they literally dropped them off at Cams when they got back from Columbus from beating number one Penn State. Like, from the airport, just dropped them off at Cams. So they at least made the stop at State Farm Center. They probably ended up at Cams after that.
Exactly.
But good for them.
That is so funny. Britt Miller, we got to get him on again. He's doing this high school coaching thing. But, of course, it's playoff week. They may be playing on a Saturday. I need to check the St. Teresa football to see where they're playing. We need to look through that. Maybe a little bit later this week, we'll kind of do a little. I know we don't do a lot of high school, and I apologize. I've talked about that to a lot of listeners before, and that's something that when I worked at WAND, I knew everything about high school football, and not just football, but all the sports, right? Because I was covering it on a daily basis. Part of the reason that we don't do much high school is I just don't think I could give it its due. I just don't know the kids like I used to. Now, with Andrew getting into high school now, I'll be a little bit better, because when Lucas was in high school, I followed it a lot more, and even football and basketball and all of that stuff. But when he wasn't, I didn't really spend a lot of time following that. So we apologize that we don't do a lot of that, but we'll try to maybe get Brett Barons on, or Marley Weirda, one of those, and maybe do a little high school football preview before the weekend gets here. And one of these days, we got to get Britt Miller back on. Because we'll have to ask him, would you have taken a State Farm Center 10,000 cheering you on, or just head straight to Cams? I think we know.
You can have both.
Yeah, you can have both. You can have both.
Yeah.
But he's got to choose one. That's what, and we'll see what Britt Miller would say about that. All right, there's one more clip I wanted to run with Brett. We didn't get enough time, but we'll do that next hour at the bottom of the hour, and that's basically previewing Rutgers and also recapping that crazy ending against Penn State. But when we come back, Joey Wagner, Illini Inquirer, he's going to join us to talk about that game. He was there in Penn State, and also kind of talk some hoops with you, as well as he gets set for a fun Illinois basketball season. We'll do all that next hour. Stay with us. It is The Drive.